Welcome to Sleep Wells Podcast. I am your host, Shannon Glenn. Today is episode 22. We're going to do part two of our three-part series with the coronavirus pandemic tips. And today we're going to focus on parenting. Hope you enjoy. Hi, welcome. This is Shannon Glenn here. I hope you're all doing well. It's sort of hour by hour, some days, day by day, as we work through this. I will say, I think we're getting all a little more comfortable with our new norm during this coronavirus pandemic. Definitely still some learning experiences for sure. Just trying to take it as it comes and realize that normal life will eventually resume. So as I mentioned on the last episode, I wanted to do a three-part series, just sharing some tips for those of you out there that are parents, which I know is the majority of this audience, while we're working through this. Because I definitely think there are some unique circumstances to families who are staying home and with their kids, as opposed to just adults who are home. And I think there are some really big positives that are going to come out of this for all of us. I see some great things happening in my own home. My kids are becoming better friends with each other, as they are their only hangout. My daughter is 13, so she wouldn't want me to call her son, my son, her brother, her playmate, so her buddy. And I think that is really unique that they're getting this kind of time together. This condensed, they don't normally get this much time uninterrupted. And I'm really impressed with how they're doing. And I see their relationship growing and blossoming, which is really cool. And also just some, uninterrupted time with them, which as a family, I see, closeness that we have developed over this. And, this is going to be a memory that they will have for the rest of their life. If your child is over the age of 4 or 5, they're going to remember this. They're going to remember this time. And I was reading, I think it was like a blog that a mom had posted, and she was like, maybe this will be the generation where, things will look different for them. They'll appreciate small things more. They'll appreciate, like, they won't maybe be as into material things because they will have gone without some of that. But also maybe they'll appreciate physical connection with their friends and being together. And so maybe there's some real positive things that can come out of this. The other side of this is the reality that it is hard, and that there's definitely struggles. And by no means do I want to discredit the fact that I know that if you're out there with kids and you're parenting them at home every day, I know there are struggles for sure. And so my hope today is to try to give you 5 tips on getting through this. 5 tips that hopefully would help you work through this next few weeks, month or so, before we start gradually moving back to whatever our new normal is going to be. So I want to jump right in. First tip I would recommend is the one that I harped on in the last podcast, which is taking care of yourself. But it is number one, because if you do not take care of yourself, nothing else is going to work. It has to happen. I have found that doing some kind of daily self-care for myself, and maybe even more than once a day, is absolutely essential to my family's well-being. And I think my husband would say the same thing. Making sure you're taking care of yourself is vital. If you're doing okay, your kids will be okay too. So that, you taking care of yourself, you keeping your emotions manageable, figuring out what you need to do to make that happen will help them be okay too. So if that means that you need to turn on, an extra TV show so that you can, read a book, so that you can take a bath, if it's safe to do so, or the other parent is on board, if you can take a nap, if that's something that's relaxing for you. I know naps are something I really enjoy. And so probably at least once or twice a week, I am taking a nap. And I know that that has really been a good recharge for me to make sure that I'm feeling okay. But also, you know, order food out. If it's safe to do so in your area, order out once a week, you know, support the local businesses that if you financially can do so, that are all in hurt right now because, you know, they're not seeing the normal capacity with restaurants that they usually are. Think about that, ordering out once a week to free up the load on cooking dinner. Because I know that can be daunting for sure. So number one, take care of yourself. Most important thing. Number two, pick your battles. Pick your battles, but have boundaries. So what I mean by that is like, don't just kind of let everything fly because that's not going to be something that's going to be helpful for the kids, but also don't micromanage everything. You know, have the established rules of what's okay, what's not. We're all home all day. And so there are more dirty dishes. There are more things to clean up. There are more laundry, it feels like. It just feels like there's a little bit more of everything around the house to do. And then also, you know, just behavioral management. The kids might be bored. And some kids might find that when they're bored, picking a fight or being just maybe a little bit ornery is something that they want to do. So think about, you know, choosing your battles and what is worth it and what isn't. And if you do have a kid that is somebody who, you know, kind of wants to engage in confrontation when they're bored, they probably need something to do or they probably need a little attention from you. And so that's a great opportunity to just be like, you know what, I am wondering if you just need a hug, if you just need me to cuddle on the couch with you. And if they're younger, you're going to need to use those words. Actually, some kids, you need to even do it when they're older too. But sometimes that's what needs to happen, or they just need something else to do because they're bored. They need a new activity. So try to think about what that might look like. I mean, obviously, like I said, it doesn't mean don't have any boundaries, but pick your battles. Don't try to manage everything. Give them some grace. They're kids and they're going to make mistakes. Number three, maintain a routine and a schedule. Like write it down on a big board in your house. Get a poster board, whiteboard, whatever. Something everybody can see. And even if you have little kids that can't read, it's going to be helpful for you. And you, unless it's a baby, you can actually say like, this is what we're doing today. It can just give some peace to you, honestly. But your child will also appreciate it as well. Draw a picture next to each little piece of each step of the routine, but let them know what the routine, the schedule is going to look like. Kids thrive on structure. They, all ages, they really do best in a structured environment. And this situation is one where structure might give you a little sanity as well. Also divvy up the chores in the house. As I mentioned, I'm sure you're all battling extra messes in your house. I sure know we are. And so divvy up, to have them with daily chores as, you know, it makes sense for their age, of course, but even if they're little, then just add in times to the day where you and your little one pick up toys together, or, you know, just have some extra cleanups that you're doing. If they're older, then, you know, give them daily jobs. I know we are running our dishwasher almost every day, and that is with doing hand washing too. Hand washing pots and pans, hand washing things as much as we can. We're still running the dishwasher. And so our kids have to help. They have to help with dishes. They have to help with, you know, unloading the dishwasher, laundry. I've had them do, you know, again, my kids are a little bit older, but I've had them do some laundry. They need to pick up their room every day, you know, just having some things that are daily chores that if it's done daily, won't feel like a lot. If it's done, you know, weekly, might be a huge mess. And then you've got a fight on your hands. So, and I have found, you know, especially if they're elementary age, like, okay, here's your chores for today. And again, that could go on your schedule. Write that down. This is what you're doing, you know, Monday. This is what you're doing Tuesday. And so then you're not up micromanaging them. You're not, you know, constantly saying, okay, do this, okay, do that. Let them see what they need to do. And then they just, you know, they have the day to choose to do it if they're old enough to do that. That can definitely help. And that routine and schedule can make a huge difference. I mean, even down to, you know, the cooking. If your kids are old enough to help, awesome. If they're not, then divvying up the cooking between, you know, the two parents in the house, if you have two parents, because that can definitely you know, help and lessen the burden, given that we're, you know, ideally all making three meals a day for our kiddos, and definitely can help. I even had my 10-year-old son the other day write our grocery list. I told him everything that needed to go on it, and he had the paper in front of him and he wrote it down. And then he, you know, helped me go, we're ordering our stuff online and picking it up so we don't have to go into the store. But he came online with me and helped me pick it up and saw how much it all cost and saw how I paid for it. And, you know, it was a great activity for him to understand what grocery shopping looks like. So, you know, that was part of my routine on Sunday. And I just, you know, brought him in to help. So maintain a routine and schedule, number three. Number four, use this time to engage in some family activities, some things that will build memories, some, you know, happy things that the kids will remember. I swear everybody is doing a puzzle. We have a 1,000-piece puzzle out on our dining room table right now. Actually, I think while I'm doing this, my daughter is finishing it up because we're super close to finishing it. It was a pretty hard puzzle, but it's been really enjoyable. And what I realized is it has been years since we have done a puzzle. Like the last time we did puzzles were like 14-piece toddler puzzles. So it's been really fun to do that. But try to think of things that would be great memories. We are considering like a family dance music video. We'll see how that goes. But my kids like music. They like to dance and sing. So think of things that would be enjoyable, board games. If you love to cook, great opportunity to teach them how to help you with dinner, to teach them, you know, some things that they could use forever. Right. I mean, I know that something that I am continually trying to remind myself is I want my children to emotionally be okay during this time and look back on this with some fond memories of, like, you know, remember when I learned how to do a backflip on the trampoline during the coronavirus pandemic, because that's what my daughter just learned how to do, because she's spending a decent amount of time on the trampoline as a way of exercise. So that's going to be definitely something that she remembers. I also know that they'll remember the bike rides and the other things that we're trying to do too, but try to engage in some family fun while you're doing this. That doesn't mean that there shouldn't be time when you are able to just be alone too. Obviously we all need space. We all need alone time, and it's a little harder to achieve that during this time. So be mindful of that too. You know, kids need space as well. So having built into your schedule downtime every day where everyone's kind of in their room, reading, doing whatever they can do independently as it makes sense for their age, you know, take advantage of that for sure. And so then the fifth one would be do a thoughts and feelings check-in. So check in with your kiddos on how they're doing, on what they're thinking, what they're feeling. Obviously, make this age appropriate. If you've got toddlers or, you know, preschool age kids, you're going to sort of need to follow their lead. And there might not be a lot of conversation about this, or maybe one day they'll flood you with questions. I remember when my kids were that age, it would just be like some sort of brain synapse would fire. And that day I would just get loaded with questions. And if you get that, take the time to try to respond to them, especially if they're related to what's going on, because there might be some questions. Strongly recommend limiting the daily viewing of news. Obviously, if you have little kids, that's going to be easy to do, but older kids don't need to be watching the news all the time either. None of us do. You know, having an awareness of what's going on is one thing, but over focusing on our 24/7 news that is today's life is too much, and it's going to cause too much stress, especially for a young mind. So be sure to limit that. With your older kids, you know, I still find that it's about opportunity when they're ready to talk, when they're ready to be open with how they're feeling. But I also think it's okay to just check in and say, how you doing? And maybe in the moment they say they're fine, but you're still like, you're planting the seed for them to think about it and then likely come to you later and talk about their feelings and talk about their emotions. If they're old enough to journal and that's something that they would enjoy, let them journal, to write it out. Just be in check with how they're doing. And at the same time, be open and honest with how you're doing too. Letting them see you be vulnerable is great, is a great tool for kids. It's a great experience for kids to have, to be able to see mom and dad vulnerable. Yesterday was Easter, and I felt really emotional yesterday. I think just the fact that our day was so different. And normally we do go to church on Easter. We usually get together with family. There's just so many things that we've had as traditions that just all were changed. And we were watching church on TV online. And it just felt really, I felt really emotional. And I cried and cried quite a bit. And I think, you know, it was good to see. We all ended up in a big family hug by the end of it. But it was good for them to just see that. And, you know, I was feeling emotional. And in that moment, that was just hard for me to experience. And I know that they appreciated that. So also be sure to check in with them on how you're feeling and thinking too. So that, you know, trying to keep things as healthy and balanced as possible. And, you know, reach out for help, connection online if you need that from extended family or friends to help support yourself if you're struggling. Unfortunately, I know in this time it's hard to, you can't really ask for physical help. But you can ask for people to talk to, and don't be afraid to do that if you need to, so that you can keep yourself in check. Because again, if you're doing okay, your kids will be. And so trying to make sure you're taking care of yourself will help you be able to take care of them. So just to kind of recap those five, I know they were quick tips. That was kind of my goal. I don't not want these to be ever terribly too long. Just give some, you know, bite-sized pieces of information. So take care of yourself. Number two, pick your battles, but be sure to have some boundaries, some house boundaries, house rules. Number three, maintain a schedule and a routine. Number four, use this time to engage in some family activities or create some family memories that are positive. And then number five, do a thoughts and feelings check-in. So hopefully that is just some tools, extra tools for you while you're working through this. I know we will, you know, things will be, as I say, at a new norm. I don't think I can say things will go back to normal, because I think we will have a new norm, but life should be, you know, resuming and here before we know it. So I hope you're staying safe. I hope you're staying well. And until then, I hope you sleep well.